We are delighted this evening to have our brother, the Reverend John Woods, with us. Whenever I booked him to come, he was the minister of our church in Bush Mills, way up in County Antrim and North Antrim. And now he's the minister of the church a little closer to us in Belfast and John Knox on the Shankill Road. But we're glad that he's able to come along tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless him as he brings the word to us this evening. Amen.
Thank you, Minister, for the words of welcome. It is good to be with you tonight and do more. We want to turn, please, to the book of Genesis and to the chapter 3. The book of Genesis and the chapter 3. And we're going to read some verses in this chapter, commencing at the verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and reading from the verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, walking in the garden, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? It's the words of verse 9 that we want to take as our text tonight. We'll read them again. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Let's just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer and ask for the Lord's help again in the preaching of his word. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank thee for the opportunity to be in thy house. We thank thee for the hymns we've been able to sing. We thank thee for the word of testimony and thy saving grace in our brother Walter's life. We thank thee now for thy word. We thank thee thy word is truth. We thank thee thy word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we ask tonight, as we come to the preaching of thy word, we pray that thy word will go forth with the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt speak to every heart tonight. Speak especially to those who as yet are unsaved and out of Christ. We pray tonight that they may realize as never before that they are guilty sinners before thee, that they are still heading for that terrible place called hell. And we pray tonight that they may cry out to thee for mercy and for forgiveness. And so, Father, I pray that thou wilt grant to me the help that I need to preach forth thy word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in all the Word of God. Because here we discover how sin entered into the world. Here we discover why each one of us have been born into this world as guilty sinners in the sight of God. Here we discover how Adam, who represented us, fell into sin. And because of that sin, each one of us have been born as guilty sinners. We discover in this chapter how subtle Satan was and still is. How he tempted Eve to sin. How he tempted her to disobey God, and how she yielded to that temptation. And how also her husband Adam disobeyed God and fell into sin. We read in this chapter the record of how Adam and Eve realized their guilt, realized their sinfulness before a holy God. As you read through this book of Genesis, it is the book of beginnings. In this chapter that we've read from, we have the first mention of Satan, the first mention of sin. But in the verse that is our text tonight, in verse 9, we have the first recorded question which God the Creator asked of His creation. Because after reading of Adam and Eve falling into sin, we read of God coming here in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 3 and addressing Adam with this question, "Where art thou?" This was a very personal question that God addressed to Adam. It was a very searching question which God addressed to Adam. And God was not merely asking Adam, "Where art thou?" as far as he was from a physical perspective, "Where are you?" in that sense. But no, God was asking Adam the question, "Where art thou now?" as far as spiritual things are concerned. As far as his spiritual standing before God. God was asking him this question, "Where art thou?" We could say it was a probing question. It was a question addressed to Adam's conscience. You know, God asking this question to Adam, God did not need to ask the question to find out the answer in that sense, because God knows all things. But God was asking Adam this question that Adam might realize what had taken place in his experience. That Adam might even be brought to acknowledge and confess his sin before God. You see, in God's great purpose, before any of us can be saved from our sins, before we can receive God's salvation, God must bring us to that place where we realize we're guilty sinners. And where we are brought to that place that we acknowledge to Him that we're guilty sinners, if we are going to receive His salvation. And so tonight, for a few moments, I want us to consider this question. This question, yes, it was addressed to Adam by God all those years ago. And yet tonight, through God's Word, God would address this question to you. And tonight, if you're here and you're not saved in particular, I want you to think upon this question. I want you to consider that God would address this question to you tonight, "Where art thou?" Where are you tonight as far as your standing before God is concerned? Where art thou tonight? Spiritually speaking, I want us to give three answers to this question tonight. Three answers as far as Adam was concerned, and three answers I believe that will be applicable to you tonight if you're still out of Christ. Where art thou? The first answer which Adam really had to give to this question was that he was attempting to hide from God. If you look at the verse 10 for a moment, we find recorded the first part of Adam's answer to this question when God came and addressed him with this question, "Where art thou?" In verse 10 we read, "And he said," that is Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Here's Adam beginning to answer this question which God addressed to him, and he's acknowledging that he was attempting to hide from God. Adam declares that he heard God's voice and he was afraid. And so he attempted to hide himself from God's voice. Back in the verse 8, just before this question was addressed to Adam, we read concerning Adam and Eve in the verse 8 that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And so God comes and addresses Adam with the question, "Where art thou?" And what does Adam say? "I'm attempting to hide from you, God." Attempting to hide from God's voice. Attempting to hide from God's presence. And we might rightly say tonight, "How foolish, Adam, that you should attempt to hide from the God who knows all things, from the God who is everywhere at all times." Adam, in attempting to hide from God, was attempting to flee from God because he had sinned against God. Adam and his wife Eve, they felt uncomfortable now in the presence of God, knowing they had sinned against God, they had disobeyed God. And there was now that distance, that spiritual distance, between them and their Creator, the one with whom they had enjoyed sweet communion. Now there was that distance. Sin had come between them and their Creator. And my friend tonight, if you in this meeting are still unsaved and out of Christ, as you think of God addressing this same question to you tonight, "Where art thou?" Is it not the case that maybe you too have to say that just like Adam, you're attempting to hide from God? We're so glad you're in the house of God tonight. But maybe if you were to be honest with me tonight, maybe you would say, "I'd rather not be here. I'd rather not be under the preaching of God's Word because it makes you feel uncomfortable in your sin." I was talking to a lady just a week or two ago who used to come to the congregation in the John Knox. She hasn't been there for quite some time. And she openly acknowledged to me, she said, "When I come and sit under the preaching of God's Word, I feel uncomfortable." And I said to her, "Well, that's good. Better to feel uncomfortable in your sin than to be content to be in your sin and to be out of Christ." And I believe tonight that's why many people don't come under the preaching of God's Word or come only occasionally. Maybe you're trying to hide from God, to run away from His speaking voice. I wonder tonight, if you're out of Christ, do you ever take down the Bible at home and read it for yourself? If you do, that's good. But maybe you don't, and maybe again the reason is because you feel uncomfortable when you begin to read about a holy God who must punish sin. And I refer to this often when I'm preaching. Every time I've heard my father give his testimony, he always speaks about how as a teenager, as he went to the big school and went to a scripture union, and the people who ran that scripture union not only taught the gospel to the pupils who came, but told them to go home and read the Bible for themselves. And that's what he did. And as he read the Bible for himself at home, he began to realize, my church attendance, my good works, are not enough to make me right with God. And he was brought to be uncomfortable, yes, in his sin. But then he was led on to trust the Lord for salvation. Where are you tonight, my friend? Yes, sitting in this meeting under the sound of God's word, but maybe in reality, trying to hide from God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, in the chapter 6, that even on the judgment day, when the Lord Jesus returns again to this scene of time, that even on that day, those that are still out of Christ, they will try to hide from the Lord Jesus. Let me read you these verses in Revelation chapter 6. Verse 15 tells us, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? It will be in vain on that day also to try to hide yourself from the Lord Jesus and from the judgment of God. And yet the scripture declares that on that day, that's what those who are unsaved will attempt to do. My friend, why should you try tonight to hide from God? Because he knows everything about you. He knows you better than anyone else knows you. And he knows about your sin. Far better for you tonight to turn to the Lord. To acknowledge your sin before him. To repent of it. To ask him for forgiveness. And by faith to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But you know, if we come back to Genesis chapter 3. And think of this question again, where art thou? Yes, Adam, he was attempting to hide from God, but we know there's a second answer that he could give to this question. Where art thou, Adam? Adam was attempting to cover his sin by his own efforts. If you look for a moment at verse 7. In verse 7, when Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they had disobeyed God, they had sinned against God. We're told that the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. And you know, they realized their sin. They realized their guilt before a holy God. Then we read that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And this was not just merely to cover their nakedness and their shame. It was also symbolic of the fact that they were attempting to cover their sin by their own efforts. It's interesting that it was fig leaves which Adam and Eve sewed together in an attempt to cover their nakedness, their shame, in an attempt to cover their guilt before God. Over in the Gospels, you'll read of the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, verses 20 and 21, and he cursed a fig tree because he found leaves upon it and no fruit. And does it not remind us that as sinners, the best that we can do cannot bring forth any fruit that is pleasing to God. The best that we can do as sinners is not enough to merit God's favor. Not enough to cover our sin before a holy God. And tonight, if you're out of Christ, you might say, well, how futile were Adam and Eve's attempts to cover their shame. their nakedness and the guilt of their sin before a holy God. And yet maybe if you're honest, you're attempting to do the same yourself tonight. You're attempting to quieten your conscience. Attempting to cover your guilt by doing the best you can in life. By attending the house of God. By doing good to others. Things which are good and proper in their place and commendable from a human perspective, but you're hoping that your good works and your church attendance will somehow cover your sin before God and somehow merit you God's salvation. Arthur Pink, who has written many books, he has written the book, commentary on this book of Genesis, want you to read the comment, or want to read to you the comment that he made in this respect, what we're talking about tonight, attempting to cover sin by our own works. He said, such has ever been the way of the natural man. And he said, the last thing that natural man, you and I, will do left to ourselves is to acknowledge and confess to God our sinfulness, our lost condition. He said, conscious that something is wrong with him, man seeks shelter behind his own self-righteousness and trusts that his good works will more than counterbalance his evil works. And maybe that's your thinking tonight. Maybe you hope on the judgment day that God will somehow take your good works and your evil works, and somehow your good works will outbalance your evil works. Yet the Scripture teaches nothing like that. You know, these leaves that were plucked from a fig tree, these fig leaves that Adam and Eve sewed together, they would soon die and wither away. There'd be no covering for their sin. You know, the Scripture says, all our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags in God's sight. And the same verse in Isaiah 64 and 6, where we read those words, tells us that we all do fade as a leaf. Where art thou tonight? Are you attempting to cover your sin by your good works? By the best you can do? You know, it will all be in vain. Because the Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. The only sufficient covering for your sin is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, the merit of the blood he shed. And the only way your sin can be covered in God's sight is when you come as a sinner and you acknowledge your sin to God. And by faith you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. My friend, far better for you tonight to be done with trying to cover your sin and your guilt. Come and acknowledge it to God. Come and receive Christ as your Savior tonight. But there's one final answer to this question. This question that was addressed to Adam, where art thou? And that is that he was attempting to excuse his sin. Not only attempting to hide from God, not only attempting to cover his sin, but he attempted to excuse his sin. If you look again at Genesis chapter 3, and this time, the verse 11. In verse 9, God had asked this question to Adam, where art thou? Adam had begun to answer in verse 10, telling how he heard God's voice. He was afraid, and he hid himself. But God continued to question him in the verse 11. And again, God didn't need to know the answers to these questions. God was seeking to bring Adam to that place where he would acknowledge his sin. Verse 11, the Lord said to Adam, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Here was the opportunity for Adam to say, yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've eaten of the fruit of the tree that You said we shouldn't eat of, and I acknowledge my sin and I seek forgiveness. But no, Adam didn't. In verse 12, we read, and the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. What was he doing? He was attempting to excuse his sin. He was blaming God and he was blaming Eve. He said there in the verse 12, the woman, that was Eve, whom thou, that's God, givest me. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. But God didn't force Adam to eat the forbidden fruit, neither did Eve. Oh yes, she gave it to you. But Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed. Adam took the fruit. He may, as he did, try to blame God. Try to blame Eve. But he was guilty. You know, the New Testament tells us in 1 Timothy 2 and 14 that Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was about. And yet he sinned. And yet here he's attempting to excuse his sin. And again, my friend, maybe that's you today. You're not saved. And yet you're attempting to excuse your sin. You might say to me tonight, well, at least I've never murdered anyone. Or I've never committed this particular sin or that particular sin. And so you think you're better than others. You're excusing your sin. Or maybe you might say to me tonight, well, I know such and such a person and they say they're a Christian. You want to see the way they live? I live just as good a life as them. And you're making excuses for your own sin. And maybe that person you refer to, while they may profess to be a Christian, they're maybe not a Christian at all. And if they are and they're not living right, well, the Lord will deal with them. But it's no excuse for your sin. You'll only give account for yourself on the judgment day. You'll not have to give account for anyone else. And my friend, the love for your soul tonight. I say to you, stop trying to hide from God. Stop trying to cover your sin with your own efforts. Stop trying to make excuses for your sin. Come to Christ tonight. Because you know, as you read on down this chapter, in the verse 15, a promise was given that a Savior would come. I will put enmity between me and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Those words were addressed to the serpent, to Satan, but the seed was a reference to Christ. And when you could write down the chapter to verse 21, we read that unto Adam also, and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God took the initiative. A substitute was slain. Blood was shed. The covering was taken to cover Adam and Eve. And you know, that was but a picture of the fact that someday Jesus Christ would come. And he would come into this world and he would live a perfect life as he has done, providing a perfect righteousness for sinners. And then he would go to the cross at Calvary as the great sacrifice for sin, the only sufficient sacrifice for sins forever. And as he hung on that cross of Calvary, during those hours of darkness in his very soul, he endured the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. He shed his precious blood to redeem a sinful people. And yes, he died and he was buried and he arose again. And tonight he's still the only Savior. And if you will come tonight, as a sinner, confess your sin to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you because of what Christ has done. Receive Christ as your Savior. You'll be able to say an answer to the question, where art thou? I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. And you shouldn't rest tonight until you're able to give that answer to the question tonight. Come and trust Christ as your Saviour tonight. May God write his word upon our hearts this evening.